Good morning. Oh, you got to read the scripture first. Yes, so the scripture reading for this Easter Sunday service is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16 to 23. Let's recite it together. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. And before we go into today's message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Blessed and holy Father, we affirm what your gospel proclaims concerning your Son, who being found in human form, became obedient, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue profess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so, Lord, as we are gathered today to affirm this truth and to reflect on its eternal ramifications, we pray, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit and in accord with the testimony of the gospel, that we who are your people, who are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, may be strengthened with joy in the gospel, our faith likewise strengthened. We pray, Lord God, that the truth of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ would greatly and deeply empower our sanctification. For we know, Lord God, that who we will be has not yet appeared, but when your Son returns and appears again, we will become like him. And as your word teaches, all who hope thus in him purify themselves as he is pure. And now, Lord, let this be for your glory and for your name's sake, this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as today is Easter Sunday, we're going to be taking a break from our series in Philippians in order to consider a text dealing with one of the central claims of the gospel and the claim that we commemorate on this Easter holiday, and that claim is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. A few months ago, while I was visiting the hospital for a checkup, I happened to have a chat with a non-Christian lady. And as we were talking, my calling as a pastor came up. And in the midst of that conversation, I had mentioned to this lady that all people need the gospel. And what is that? She quipped. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Somehow, this woman was led to believe that this was the Christian gospel summed up. Love your neighbor as yourself. I imagine that there are many people who think the same thing. They think that to love your neighbor as yourself is the core essence of the gospel. Now, our Lord Jesus does tell us that loving our neighbor as ourselves is the second great commandment. And of course, as believers, we affirm this to be true. We know that you shall love your neighbor as yourself sums up the final six of the Ten Commandments. But if we understand the gospel, we know that the commandments of God, including the commandment to love our neighbor as ourself, taken by itself, is not actually good news. And that is what the gospel means. Good news. Euangelion in the Greek. Good news. If we know anything about this gospel, we know that the law of God, in and of itself, is not good news to a sinful humanity, but rather bad news. If on the day of judgment, our eternity is staked on the keeping of God's commandments, again, including the commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves, well, that means terrible news for us, because we have all broken his commandments more times than we can keep track of. If God were to judge our eternity on the basis of the second great commandment alone, we would all stand before him as guilty lawbreakers, culpable of his just punishment and wrath. And that is why Scripture declares concerning God's holy law in Romans 3, 19 to 20, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." We see what it says there in Romans 3:20. "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." What is the function of God's law? Well, one of the functions of God's law is the function to expose our sins, convict us as lawbreakers, and stop our mouth from boasting in our self-righteousness. The law of God holds us accountable before a holy God. And that, far from being good news to guilty lawbreakers, is actually bad news. As Scripture declares in Ezekiel 18:4, "The soul who sins shall die." What is sin? It is the breaking of God's commandments. Or as we read in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." So the law of God, taken by itself, is not good news, but rather bad news. But this bad news is necessary news, because it's only when we recognize the eternal danger that we are in that we'll be able to see our utter need for the good news of the gospel. Only to the sinner convicted by the law of God, his self-righteousness silenced by the knowledge of sin, and his conscience grieved over the hopeless condition of his soul, is the gospel received for the deliverance and relief that it actually is. What then is the gospel? The gospel is not merely love your neighbor as yourself. What is the gospel? The gospel is good news unto condemned and guilty sinners before a holy and just God. The gospel is the condemnation of God's law taken in conjunction with the deliverance of God's salvation. The gospel exposes our sins, warns us of the eternal danger we're in, and then tells us that something has been done for us so that we may escape the just wrath and judgment of God and enjoy reconciliation with Him forever. The gospel is good news. The gospel is the good news of God sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world in order to save His people from their sins so that they might enjoy fellowship with Him forever. And so we read earlier in this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3 to 4, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Christ Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. This is, at the most basic level, what Christ Jesus has done to save us from our sins. And it's not only our Lord's dying for our sins that is central to the good news about Him, but His rising again. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Not only our Lord's dying, but also His rising again. In fact, if the Lord Jesus merely died on the cross and was never raised from the dead, there would be no gospel. That's what our text is showing us today. There would be no gospel. There would be no good news for guilty sinners facing the judgment of God. There would be no hope beyond the grave for anyone. And our lives here on this earth would be ultimately an exercise in futility. This is what today's text emphasizes as we read from verse 16 to 18. "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." Do we read in today's text? "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." If Christ was not raised from the dead, our faith is futile. That is how central the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is to the gospel. If Christ was not raised from the dead, our faith is futile. Our faith in Christ would appropriate no benefit for us, since if Christ was not raised, His death accomplished nothing for the eternal salvation of people. If Christ was not raised, His death would have accomplished nothing to deliver us from sin's penalty And we would go on to pay the penalty ourselves in eternity, in perdition. According to the gospel, God raised Christ from the dead to show that his death was sufficient payment for the sins of the world. Christ's resurrection, according to the gospel, was a declaration from God that the sentence for our sins was paid in full by the death of his Son. And all who placed their trust in the risen Lord Jesus received the gift of what he has done so that they might be justified before God. And so the gospel proclaims that Christ our Lord was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. God raised Christ from the dead to show that his death was sufficient payment for our sins. If Christ was not raised from the dead, then his sacrifice was insufficient to cover our sins. And we would, as our text assures us, still be in our sins. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. The penalty for our sins would not have been paid off. We would still be in the guilt of our sins. And as our text goes on to tell us, all who have ever believed in Christ, if he did not rise from the dead, have perished eternally. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ, that's speaking about death, have perished. If Christ was not raised from the dead according to gospel, not a single human soul would be in heaven. All would be consigned to hell. If Christ was not raised, there's no forgiveness for our sins, no reconciliation with God, no adoption into his family, no access into his kingdom, no sanctifying gift of the Holy Spirit in this life, no heaven and no glorification in the life to come, no salvation from sin in any sense. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. That's what the gospel proclaims. Furthermore, if Christ was not raised from the dead, the New Testament would have been written by a bunch of frauds who testified falsely concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if the New Testament was written by a bunch of frauds, then there will be nothing in the New Testament we could trust, since it was written by lying witnesses. As you read in verse 14 to 16 of this chapter in 1 Corinthians, and if Christ has not been raised and our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain, we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. If Christ was not raised, then the apostles are found to have been misrepresenting God and testifying falsely. What good is the gospel if it's based on fraudulent testimony? And that's what the gospel would be if Christ was not literally, bodily raised from the dead. And yet, sadly, there are people who call themselves Christians who think the resurrection of Christ is not essential. to the gospel message. They think the literal bodily resurrection of Christ is not really essential to the gospel message. They say that all that really matters is that Jesus left a good example to follow. Doesn't matter if he really, literally rose again from the dead. What really matters is that Jesus left a good moral example to follow. They say it doesn't really matter whether he rose again from the dead or not. They say what we need to do is translate his ethical teachings into a form that is practical and palatable to a society at large. Take out his absolute claims pertaining to his divine lordship. Take out the exclusivity of his way as the only way to eternal life. Take out all talk of the human soul and the coming judgment of God. Distill his teachings into a form that anyone can accept and apply without the need for new birth, without the need for repentance, without the need for true faith in the risen Lord Jesus. And if we do that, well, we might see some improvement in society. But again, what good is it to follow teachings recorded by a group of liars who testified falsely about the resurrection of Christ? Because that is what the gospel is if Christ did not literally rise from the dead. It's just a testimony of a bunch of unreliable, lying witnesses. What good is that to the world? What use is it to do a little good here and there in this life based on this unreliable testimony, if we must perish eternally for our sins in the next life? And so the Apostle Paul is right to declare in verse 19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If that's all the gospel is, an unreliable testimony from false witnesses, an unreliable testimony that can do a little good here and there in society, if that's all the gospel is, then we are of all people most to be pitied. We're pitiful people. But as our text proclaims, Christ Jesus has been raised from the dead. Verse 20. But in fact, do you see that? Doesn't say the resurrection of Christ is some kind of like metaphor for some deep spiritual truth. No, it says the resurrection of Christ is a fact. It's factual. It actually happened. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That's what the resurrection of Christ is. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The resurrection of our Lord gives believers a preview of what is in store for us in eternity. The first fruits of the crops is the initial yield of the harvest. It provides us, the farmer, with a foretaste of the rest of that season's harvest. It's a preview. When believers look to the risen Lord Jesus, we are given a clear preview of what will one day happen to us because of what he has done for our salvation. Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, who have died. As we know, many people in the Bible were revived out of death. But all those people went on to eventually die just like anyone else. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not merely revived out of death like Lazarus, but raised from the dead in resurrected immortal glory, never to die again. His glorious resurrection is a preview, is the first fruits of those who have died in the faith in him. It's a preview of what will happen to all who trust in him. If we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ from the heart, we will one day be raised like him. That's the significance of Christ's resurrection. It's a preview of what will one day happen to us. 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. One day, the resurrected Lord Jesus will appear again, and at that time, all who have ever trusted in him shall be made like him in resurrected glory. As he is, we will one day be. He is the first fruits. And so we read in verse 42 to 44 of this chapter in 1 Corinthians, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. If our trust is in the risen Lord Jesus, our perishable bodies will one day be raised imperishable, immortal, like his body. It is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. Our dishonorable bodies, because that's what our bodies are, dishonorable, wrinkled, scarred, diseased, liable to a 1,001 different kinds of ailments. One of those ailments put me in the hospital for a week this past week. Our bodies are dishonorable. But one day we'll be raised in glory, like our Lord's body. Shining, bright, radiant, without blemish, without flaw. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. That's our bodies in the present time, weak, debilitated by age, decay, dying. We're all dying at this present moment. But our weak bodies will one day be raised powerful. It is sown in weakness, is raised in power, be full of strength and vigor, far beyond the peak of our youth, like our Lord's own body. These are literal terms here. It's not to be understood in any other sense. Literally powerful, literally imperishable, literally glorious. We read in verse 44 of 1 Corinthians 15 that our current present earthly bodies our natural bodies. And that is the source of so much misery for us. These natural bodies of ours are the source of so much struggle with its sinful appetites, impure inclinations. Every believer knows what it's like to struggle with their natural bodies. Well, we read in 1 Corinthians 15 that it will one day be raised a spiritual body. What does that mean? Well, it means that it will be raised a body that is perfectly governed by the Holy Spirit of God. A body that is impervious to the lure and tug of all temptation. A spiritual body like our Lord's own body. If our Lord was not raised from the dead, then the promise of our own resurrection will be null and void. Since we read in today's text that Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You need the first fruits in order to have the rest of the harvest. Christ's resurrection is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In God's plan of salvation, Christ Jesus is raised first, then all who belong to him. We read in verse 23, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. That is the way God has planned it out. If Christ was not raised, then God's own salvation plan has been disrupted. And his word has gone on unfulfilled. And so, today's text makes abundantly clear that the resurrection of our Lord is the basis for the hope of the gospel. Look at what we read in verse 21 to 22. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Look at the world as it is. Death, decay, sin's corrupting power over the human heart. Why is the world the way that it is? There's only one fundamental explanation for it. And that explanation is Adam. It's not a mystery. Some people are just flummoxed when they see this broken world. They can't figure out why it is the way that it is. The gospel and the Bible gives us the answer. The reason why the world is as it is because of Adam. For as by a man came death, that's speaking of Adam. For as in Adam all die. The entire human race is living under the consequence of Adam's disobedience. It is because of him that our world has come under God's curse for sin. It is because of this one man, Adam, that we are conceived with a sinful nature. By this one man, Adam, came death, physical death, and spiritual death. But as we read in today's text, by another man comes the resurrection of the dead, and that other man is Jesus Christ, the God-man. The gospel proclaims the way that we may all live under the consequence of Christ's obedience. Everyone lives under the consequence of Adam's disobedience. Now, what the gospel proclaims is the way that we may all live under the consequence of Christ's obedience. This is an obedience that was to the point of death, even death on a cross. And we're able to live under the consequence of what Christ has done by believing in Him, as He is revealed in the gospel. So when we consider Adam and the consequence that he has had on the world and on the human race, then we begin to understand who Christ is. Because what he has done also has ramifications and consequences on the people of the world. We may live under the consequence of what Christ has done for his people by believing in him. And the gospel proclaims that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and exalted at the right hand of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can't say we believe in Jesus Christ if we deny that. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And all who trust in him will bear his image when he comes again, resurrected to immortal life as he has been. Do we believe in the risen Lord Jesus Christ? Have we received him for who he is? As our Savior from sin and as our risen Lord. This is the only way we can enjoy the benefits of what Christ has done for his people. This is the hope of the gospel. As our text has made clear, if we deny the glorious resurrection of our Lord, then the gospel is reduced to futility. The gospel is vain. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Thankfully, as the gospel proclaims, Christ has, in fact, been raised from the dead. And because that is true, the gospel is the only source of everlasting hope for our sinful humanity. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, for this glorious gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has come into the world to redeem sinners, to redeem all who by faith believe in his name. And his name is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we know that if there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ, then there is no gospel. It's all futile. It's all just a big waste of time. For if Christ has not been raised from the dead, as your word teaches us, we would still be in our sins. His death accomplished nothing for our eternal souls. And we'll pay for our own sins in eternity. As your word teaches us, if Christ Jesus has not been raised from the dead bodily, then the apostles are a bunch of frauds, just made up this story. And then the New Testament is just a fraudulent witness. Why would we waste our time with a fraudulent witness, a fraudulent testimony. But we thank you, Lord, that in fact Christ Jesus has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And so, Lord, we pray that as we consider, Lord, this hope of ours that is in Christ Jesus, how through him you have provided a way for the world to escape the horrors of what has been brought upon creation by Adam's first sin. As your word teaches us, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. And so, Lord, we acknowledge and affirm that Christ Jesus is our only hope for a world that has been plunged into darkness and depravity because of the disobedience of one man, Adam. We look, Lord, with hope and faith in the obedience of the one man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we look to this hope, we pray, Father, that it will empower us to live lives of godliness and purity and obedience, of sanctification, because we know, according to your gospel, that you redeemed us, Lord, not only to open up the way into heaven, but also to train us and sanctify us as recipients of your Holy Spirit in this life. We thank you, Lord, for our risen Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, now, please bless this message to this end, that we may magnify and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ and live according to his word for him who was raised for our sake, whose name is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.